disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its edge-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
At Progressive, we know there's a lot of things you can track. Steps, calories, heart rate, your pet steps, screen time, the whereabouts of your favorite celebrity, how long you slept, how long you didn't sleep, how long you thought about sleeping, how long you thought about how long you thought about sleeping. But none of these things could save you money. Unlike Snapshot from Progressive, which customizes your rate based on how and how much you drive. It's much better for your bottom line than tracking your Cocker Spaniel's resting heart rate. So download the Progressive app today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden in Philadelphia today.
Let me just say, there is no, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, those of you who know me, many of you do, no place in political violence for political violence in America. None. Zero. Never.
The president saying he is thankful former President Trump was not hurt in what federal authorities say is the second attempted assassination in a matter of months. Suspect Ryan Ruth was arraigned this morning. He did not enter a plea, but he was charged with two gun-related offenses. Attorneys for TikTok and the U.S. government are in federal court today. They're battling over a law which could result in the popular social media platform being banned in the U.S. Two elementary schools in Springfield, Ohio, evacuated due to bomb threats. The latest authorities say that have been fueled by conspiracy theories repeated by Mr. Trump and his running mate, J.D. Vance, about undocumented Haitian immigrants. This is ABC News. With 33,000 of its machinists out on strike, Boeing is taking measures to preserve cash.
Boeing is implementing a hiring freeze and is telling suppliers to stop shipping a majority of parts to Boeing for the 737, 767, and 777. In a letter to employees, Boeing's chief financial officer says the business is in a difficult period and that Boeing must take necessary actions to safeguard the future. The company is also stopping all non-critical travel for employees, pausing employee recognition spending, and canceling all off-site team meetings. Alex Stone, ABC News.
State Department announced an American pastor imprisoned in China since 2006 is back in the U.S. after his release Sunday. David Lin had been trying to open a Christian training center in Beijing when he was sentenced to life in prison on what the State Department says were bogus fraud charges. Stocks are mixed 2 hours to the close. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
Feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Offer not valid in all states where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Bills piling up? Rent due? Need cash help but have bad or no credit? Then you need to go to FastLoansAI.com where you can get approved for a loan of up to $10,000 regardless of your credit score. FastLoansAI.com is one of the largest lender networks. Their advanced technology can help anyone get up to $10,000. Best part? Money can be in your bank account as fast as the same day. When you need fast cash, go to FastLoansAI.com. That's FastLoansAI.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. A state senator is banned from the Lac du Flambeau Chippewa Tribe's northern Wisconsin reservation over comments she made at a meeting.
At an August 23rd meeting on the ongoing dispute between the tribe and the town of Lac du Flambeau over continued road closures on tribal lands, State Senator Mary Felskowski said giving money to the tribe to end the dispute would be similar to giving in to terrorists. In the banishment notice, Tribal President John Johnson said Felskowski's comments are damaging negotiations and harmful to the tribe. Felskowski responded with her own message to the media, saying she doesn't regret making the comments, but does regret the language she used. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Different paths forward for bus rapid transit in Wisconsin's two biggest cities.
Madison's first BRT line is set to begin operating next week. The new Rapid Route A will run in dedicated lanes on an east-west route approximately every 15 minutes. Two additional routes will branch off to serve local stops. All three will be served by new 60-foot articulated all-electric buses. In Milwaukee County, where the 9-mile east-west Connect 1 BRT has been running between downtown Milwaukee and Wauwatosa since April, officials announced last week that budget constraints have pushed off a planned north-south Connect 2 route for at least a decade. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin's Legislative Study Committee on Artificial Intelligence met in Wausau last week. The committee's chair, State Senator Julian Bradley, explained some of the challenges surrounding the rapidly emerging technology.
Because it's such a part of our everyday lives already, people just may not know it. We're trying to define it and making sure that we have the proper guardrails to safeguard against any nefarious acts, and really to make sure that consumers are protected.
The bipartisan committee has held several meetings focused on different areas of AI. Additional meetings will be scheduled. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The heat wave continues today, with high temperatures smacking the upper 80s under abundant sunshine. And that sticks with us for tomorrow, too. Wednesday, we get a little cooler into the low 80s, and the mid 80s return for Thursday and Friday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
Sharp losses in wheat futures were an anchor on corn and soybean prices. I mean, even with both bean meal and bean oil higher, beans ended slightly lower. Friday's gains in the cattle complex turned into a round of profit-taking today, and lean hog futures are trying to climb on top of overhead resistance.
Live! Reunited, and it feels so good via Farm Journal Studios. This is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Mark Holbrook from the Andersons. Later, Kerry Artek from Artek Advisory and WickedStocks.com. Directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, welcome back to the friendly shores of AgriTalk, your benevolent, gracious host, Chuck Flory.
You need to be careful, Davis. Make me all emotional like that just before go on the air. That's kind of,
I know. You're,
man, that makes it tough.
Your benevolence is what marks you. Everyone says that. Yeah.
I don't know anybody that says that.
Everybody says that. Everyone says so. I have it on good authority.
Yes. Gotcha. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Yes, it is. Good to be back in the studio. For those that did not hear this morning on the show, I can now claim that fishing up north, Lake Vermilion, Minnesota, I have a new personal record on a perch and on a bluegill.
That is outstanding.
Yes, it was outstanding.
I have a question for you.
Lots of walleye, too. Yeah.
Lots of walleye too. Behind, didn't you say was the count 67 total walleyes consumed?
it was somewhere in there.
Yeah. All right. I just wonder. You know, you're a natural broadcaster, a professional to the core. You were doing what you were made to do. You ever find yourself when you're alone out on the water, just sort of orating while you're out there, just talking and saying words? The trees are looking real green today.
Doing a little color commentation on the, No.
You're feeling the clarity.
No. Huh? I don't find myself doing that at all.
I view that as a sign of inner strength, that you can keep it inside. Wow.
Impressive, my friend. Impressive.
Plus, it means, I think it means that you probably do a little bit of color work just driving down the road.
Just a little. Yeah, I'm afraid so. Yeah.
I got
you. You know, sometimes I do it as though you're there, though. Boy, Chips, these beans are dirty. I didn't, huh?
They're ornery.
Look at them. Kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, looking forward to the conversation with Mark Hobrock from the Andersons. Jack Scoville's coming up. We got Carrie Artak at the end of the show. Good grief. Let's get started.
Indeed. Front month soft red winter wheat futures opened near session highs and closed near session lows below support at 580. The contract gave back all of Friday's gains and dropped back into a sideways trading range. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend at SEPT 12 totaled nearly 557,000 metric tons, and that was in line with trade expectations. Late last week, there was concern about deteriorating crop conditions in the Black Sea region. Today, the trade took that concern out of wheat prices. December, HRW wheat futures 19.5 lower, 580.5. December SRW wheat down 16.25 to 578.5. December spring wheat closed at 619.75. That's down 15.75, Chip.
Yeah, you know what made this slide in the wheat market even that much more impressive was the dollar index was down like 350 points when grain trade was wrapping up. Man, that's a tough day in the wheat trade.
Well, lower wheat prices were a drag on corn futures. December corn opened on session highs and closed mid-range while posting an inside trading day. Export inspections of corn in the weekend at September 12 totaled 521,000 metric tons at the low end of trade expectations. A dry finish for the corn crop across the Corn Belt is raising some late-season yield uncertainty, but not enough to force aggressive short covering by professional trading funds. There is also some concern about ill-timed rains in the southeastern U.S. resulting from Tropical Storm 8. December corn futures 2.5 lower today, 410.75. March corn down 1.75 cents to 429.25. July corn futures closed at 446.25, down 1.25 cents. A reluctant follower to the downside there, Chip.
Yeah, no question about it. It felt like if it wasn't for wheat, that both corn and soybeans could have moved to the upside today. But wheat was tugging things lower.
Export inspections of soybeans weekend at SEP 12 of just over 401,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 132,000 metric tons of beans for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. Demand has improved for U.S. beans, but not enough to bring fresh buying into bean futures. November bean futures opened to mid-range, tried to rally, and then dropped to dip through support at $10. Before recovering to close just slightly below the opening range. Dry late-season conditions in the United States limited that selling pressure. And traders also note dry conditions in many areas of Brazil are delaying the start of the planting season. November beans, 1.75 cents lower, 10.04.5. Jan beans, down 1.25. 10.23.5. March beans closed at 10.38, down a penny today.
Yeah, real quick look at the products. December soybean meal today up 90 cents a ton, and December bean oil up 18 points. So, like I said, the products were higher but couldn't get beans to move to the upside.
Well, Chip, heavy pressure on the U.S. dollar helped support cotton prices. December cotton today 300 points higher, 72.82. Your livestock closes quickly. October fats 42.5 lower, 177.22.5. October feeder futures 12.5 cents lower at 239 on the snout. And October lean hog futures today 147.5 higher. December hogs up 87.5 to 72.17.5. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Hey, Chip. I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing real fine. Real fine. What got into wheat today? Why couldn't it perform better?
Well, the prices overseas have been rather stable. Russian prices have been quoted at $217 a ton forever, and they're getting all the business. And I think that's probably hurting the wheat market. I didn't really see anything in the weather to change anything. We did get the Canadian crops production estimates out, and those were a little negative as well. Those were based off of models, not based off of actual yields, but still, I think between the Canadians and the Russians and everything else that's going on, we had trouble here today.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the biggest problem for corn and soybeans today, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. There was probably a little bit of cash movement out there, but really not too much. And the weather is less than perfect right now. I think we're looking at potential for drop a bushel or two in corn and, you know, half a bushel or a bushel in beans here on the next USDA reports next month. And the dry weather is definitely putting a bid underneath the bean futures, as is short covering by the funds. So
yeah,
there's really not a lot going wrong with the beans or the corn right now.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. All right, Jack. Hey, good stuff, buddy. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Okay. We had the crop production supply and demand report last week. Did it change the market? Or, like Jack just said, are we already moved past that and starting to anticipate some potential changes in the October update? We'll cover that with Mark Holbrook from the Andersons next.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They are engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit FirestoneAg.com.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. For an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Monday afternoon. It's Monday already, Davis. It's Monday.
I know. It's already upon us. Yeah.
It is. It's here.
Just a moment ago, it was Sunday.
Sunday.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's right.
Good times.
All right. Yeah. All right, Mark Holbrook from the Andersons is our guest analyst this afternoon. He joins us right now. Mark, it is great to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, glad you're here. We had the September crop production report out last week. I was on the road. If there's one on the road, I was on vacation, let's be honest. If there's one thing that I need to know from that report, what would you make sure that I knew?
Let's say we're not looking at a 2.2 or 2.3 billion corn stocks number like we were looking in late June, July timeframe.
Okay. Now, why?
Number one, your acres are lower. Okay. But I also think your demand has came up. Our exports are, you know, coming back. The ethanol margins are staying strong. And the acres have went a little lower than the June 30th estimate.
Okay. All right. So crop size, though, USDA went up on the national average corn yield from 183.1 up to 183.6. I'll admit that surprised me that it went in that direction, and I can't believe that they held Minnesota out at a 185. That just seems ridiculous to me.
We can all sit here and cuss and discuss these statewide yield ranges, right? But obviously, I think they've got several states in my mind a little overstated, Minnesota being one of the key ones. Illinois, I would argue with, my home state, Illinois. Mm-hmm. I mean, they came out at 225 in August. They lowered it to 222, which would be a record, up from the previous record of 214. I think there's some great corn across the country, Chip, but I don't know if we're – call it 8 bushel above the record corn yield in Illinois. Are we 3 or 4 bushel above? Maybe, but 8, I don't think so. You know, Iowa, they have a 212. You know, Iowa had some of the, you know, your area, north of your area, had some serious flooding concerns after his crop got planted, like Minnesota did too. So can Iowa carry a 212? I don't know. All I'm saying is 183.6, I was under the impression they would probably raise it because they take some ear weights in this report. And I just don't know if we're 183.6 by the time we get to January.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And if it, you know, to the listeners out there, if it sounds like I'm nitpicking a little bit, well, we have to nitpick because when we're looking at that carryover level that USDA is projecting, if it moves even 100 million bushels, it kind of has an impact on the market outlook, doesn't it?
Sure does. And that's why I said, I mean, you had these funds, you know, record short back in, you know, late July, August, in that August crop report, and they've bought back about, you know, they're about 150,000 contracts short on corn today. So they've bought back about half of that short. So I think the funds are saying, hey, maybe – demand is staying a little bit stronger than we thought, and maybe this crop size isn't really as big. I don't know. The funds seem to play this market ahead of us. You've also got, you know, your southeast and in your eastern corn growing areas that are in a major drought, right? You've got Virginia, the Carolinas, Georgia, you know, all significantly lower than where they've been the last 3 or 4 years. So you don't have that crop in that area coming on. Nebraska. Right. They got Nebraska record at 195. I just don't think we finished strong to have Nebraska at 195. Are they 190? Possibly. But to your point, we lower this from a 2.057 billion carry out to, let's say we take 100 million off of it. Now we're 1.9 or 1.95 billion carry out. You know, that gets this market a little bit excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're probably right. Now, in defense of the USDA numbers here very briefly. These estimates were as of August 1. And, you know, the report comes out on August 12th, and here we are just 4 days later saying, geez, that report was outdated. Well, it's because it was, you know, 2 weeks ago. And things have changed considerably, even in the Corn Belt in that two-week period. I think I've got the right read on that, Mark.
You're right. You're right. I think you mentioned August, but we know you're talking September. So let's get that straight.
Yes,
right. September. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you're right.
But I think what's changed, right? What's changed is, for example, a lot of the guys I still talk to in Illinois, They start out showing corn in the last 10 days. Okay, they started showing corn at 23%, 24%. They are currently, I'm following up with those guys usually every week, they're currently showing corn at 18%. So this corn is rapidly drying, okay? And years past, every year can be different, but hindsight 2020, anytime we have a rapid drying of this crop in the field, it tends to be not, I shouldn't say not record yields, but not huge yields when they continue to come. So what comes to mind is 2009, right? A later harvest. Last year in the East, we had a later harvest across Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan that kept those yields pretty elevated. So that's something I'm watching of how quickly this corn dries down in the field when these guys are going to get it.
Great point. Great point. Yeah. You mentioned ethanol margins still looking pretty good. We did not get any change in the estimate on the corn for ethanol estimate, still at 5.45 billion bushels in the September supply and demand report. Is there any room to move that to the upside?
Well, I think there's a little room to move the upside, but it's not going to go up 100 to 150 million bushels, right? Okay. For us to really see that gain, I think we got to go to E15 year round, which I know a lot of our, you know, people in Washington DC, a lot of our ag, lobbyists are pushing hard for that. Right. So I think to see that flow higher, you've got to have E15 year round, which I don't know, depending on what lobbyists you talk to, but a lot of them are talking about there's still a lot on the table that, it feels more of a maybe a game plan to get there today than we were 60 days ago or 90 days ago. So I don't think you'll see that change. What you've not seen is usually a lot of these plants slow down and go through maintenance, right, in July, August, early September, and you're seeing some of these guys push maintenance off, right? Now, that's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is they're still grinding corn because we're seeing 50 cent plus spot margins up front here. So maybe they're going to continue grind a little bit more, right? And I think that's where you saw, you know, our any stocks from last year, from the 23-24 year, you know, went down a little bit further in this report. So gives us less to carry in this year. But ethanol margins staying strong. You go out to Q1, we're running double digit positive margins. I've seen that three times in my 24-year career, right? So even Q1 margins are staying pretty positive in double-digit range.
Nice. Nice. How much of a difference would a move to E15 make on that total corn for ethanol?
And it's tough to put figures on, okay? But that's
it
that
is.
You know, I would tell you that would add, I think, 100 to 150 million more demand for corn for ethanol. Just off the top of my head. And I'll run the numbers and get that to you. I'll shoot you an email, but that's just off the top of my head, 100 to 150 million more.
Okay. All right. You know, one of the things that I've always argued is if it's not going to be E15, let's make it E11, E12, because every percentage that we're blending into the nation's fuel supply makes a difference, and it makes a positive difference in so many different ways. You know, we're going to be clean and burning cleaner fuel using more corn. It's kind of a no-brainer to a lot of us, but here we are. You know, we're kind of stuck at that 5.45. Okay, real quick, tell me the export story on corn. Is it getting better?
It's getting better. I mean, you know, we go from, you know, a year ago, we were trying to get exports back, right? And everybody's thinking, well, China's coming back, China this, China that. China's economy is still in a huge recession. You have a lot of your analysts talk about it all the time. China's still, their economy's still in a recession. But what's came back is Mexico is still purchased a lot of U.S. corn. Canada's purchased a lot of U.S. corn. Japan's back in here. Korea's back in here. So these guys that we supply a lot of corn with are still buying, right? They're not seeing the cheap offers out of South America compete against on the corn side like they once were. So we're back in this export arena, which we really haven't been back to these levels. You know, USDA has a 2.3 billion bushel on the export number for corn for this next marketing year. And I feel that's reasonable. And all of a sudden you take that up 100 million. right? All of a sudden, does China come back in here? I don't see China coming back in here unless we have a South American weather problem, which you all know it's extremely dry down there right now, but they're trying to get into the rainy season.
Right, right. Okay. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about that South American growing season a little bit here and how things are getting are dry at the start. And, Mark, the other thing that I got to know is why wheat just didn't want to participate with what looked like a rally attempt in corn and beans early in the session. All right, we've got Mark Hobrock from the Andersons here on AgriTalk.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December HRW wheat futures were 19 and a half cents lower at 580 and one half. December SRW wheat down 16 and a quarter to 578 and one half. December corn futures were 2.5 cents lower at 410 and three quarters. March corn down 1.75 cents to 429 and one quarter. November soybean futures were 1.75 cents lower at 1004 and a half. January beans down 1.25 to 1023 and a half. December cotton today 300 points higher, 7282. On your livestocks, October fats were 42.5 lower at 177.22 and a half. October feeder futures 12.5 lower at 239 even. And October lean hog futures today 147.5 higher at 79.92. Get more market news every market day. Try profarmer.com.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Experience all things electric during the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event with Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls North Hall. There'll be an EV showcase, test drive of electric vehicles, an EV roundtable discussion, electric tools demonstration, kids games, and more. Food and refreshments will be available. It's the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls with Pierce Pepin Co-op Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The heat wave continues today with high temperatures smacking the upper 80s under abundant sunshine. And that sticks with us for tomorrow, too. Wednesday, we get a little cooler into the low 80s, and the mid-80s return for Thursday and Friday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Mark Hobrock from the Andersons. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Mark, we covered a lot of ground on corn there in the last segment. Start me off with wheat here. What was wrong with that market today?
I think what you did, you look at the managed money and the algorithms. A lot of their algorithms are around, you know, your 20, your 50, your 72, your 100-day moving averages. And we went right up above and closed above that 72-day moving average on December Chicago and KC wheat. And I don't know what happened, but we couldn't stay above there today, so we closed back below it. We'll see what the funds want to do here. But that's what I'm telling you today. You know, you look at that wheat report, you mentioned it. It came out, you know, what I would call friendly. You know, your, you know, world stocks went from 265 million metric ton last year to 257, right? So we cut it by 8 million metric ton, yeah. Due to basically European Union down 11 million metric tons year over year. Russia down about 8.5 million metric tons year over year. Those are two, you know, largest producing wheat areas in the world. So wheat seems to have a little bit of a story here, but we couldn't get follow through gains this week. But again, wheat rallied 70 cents and basically about, you know, 7-8 trading days ahead of what happened today.
Yeah. So maybe just, you know, if the market can find its footing tomorrow, could be a whole different story in that market. It's kind of the way I feel that, It might just be a one-day setback and see if we can find its footing tomorrow. And like you said, longer term, it feels like it's got a better story. I mean, what is the potential in the wheat market right now, Mark? Do you feel like it's trading too cheap right now?
When we're in the lower fives, I told you absolutely we're trading too cheap. Right now that we got back here, what I call – you know, USDA has average cash price at 570 for the year, and we're right back up against that area, right? So I think we're getting closer to fair value. You know, our wheat exports have picked up a little bit here out of the U.S. The big thing is Russia still has a lot of, well, if you believe USDA and you believe the Russian government, they still have a lot of stocks to export, all right? So until Russia is out of the export arena, I don't see our exports picking up a bunch, but they have picked up a little bit here as we move forward into, you know, the North American fall harvest.
Okay. All right. Wheat still has a big influence on corn and soybean price, or am I spending too much time on wheat already?
No. I think now's the time as we're putting this, you know, this winter crop in the ground in North America, we should focus on wheat. And I think that's what supported corn and beans coming out of that August, call it those August lows, right? Wheat started running. With a lot of the wheat got put away, you know, a lot of your mills are covered through, you know, call it Q4, but they're uncovered through Q1. You know, we feel they have 10 to 20% of their needs covered through Q1. So I think there's some wheat demand coming back in here, and wheat obviously becomes a story here as we start planting the crop in the Northern Hemisphere for the winter wheat complex.
Okay. All right. Let's move on over to soybeans now. I'm kind of liking the export picture here. It feels like it's gotten better, but what's your thoughts there?
No, I agree. I think we're seeing, you know, China's coming back in here, buying some beans again. Again, their economy is still in a recession. They're not going to come in here and buy, you know, 3 million metric tons like they do when you run at Thanksgiving, Christmas time frame. I call it the holiday rally in beans, right, when China usually comes in here and inks some type of import commitment from the United States, but they are buying beans again. They're buying out of U.S. and out of South America. So the days of 700 million bushel bean carryover, like we thought we could get after that June acres number in the July report, I think that's gone, and 550 seems to be relevant today. And you know how dry it's been across most of the bean belt states here to finish beans the last 30 days. I just don't know if we're 53.2 nationwide, yeah. Yield. That would, yep, obviously be a record. I see it tough to have a 53 plus. I think we're back in the mid 52 camp. So then all of a sudden, maybe we're back to that 475 or below 500 million carryout. And that probably speaks beans back in that 1050 to 1075 area.
Okay. All right. Yeah, the supply side is one thing, that is for sure. But boy, if that market is one that is proven, if the demand doesn't come along, it's going to be tough to generate any upside momentum. How do you feel about the crush numbers?
I think the crush numbers, you know, you look at the crush numbers and I feel, and there's more crush coming online. You know, our crush numbers year over year are supposed to be up around, you know, 17 million tons. So I think that is good. You mentioned the export side of things coming back. So the biggest thing is if you look at world ending stocks, okay? World ending stocks last year were 112 million metric tons. This year they're supposed to be 134 million metric tons.
Yeah.
But if you remember back in July, a lot of these guys were talking about 140 million metric ton world soybean ending stock number. I don't think we're going to be there. So domestic crush is obviously going to be up. And I was talking world numbers there on the crush being up 17 million metric ton. Basically, you know, U.S. will be up somewhere called 150 to 175 million bushels this year just with the expanded crush capacity coming online.
Yep. Mark,
one thing to watch on the soybean exports, Indonesia, right? They want to do the B50, right? So they're going to crush more palm oil and use more palm oil for their diesels. They want to get to 50% renewable diesel over there off their palm oil. So watch if they truly make that relevant and make it work, then that's going to cause, I think, more end users or more imports of U.S. beans in these other areas.
Okay. Very good. It seems to me the theme of your outlook right now, Mark, is there not a lot of reason to get bullish, but the worst case scenarios are behind us. Is that about it?
I would say yes. I'm a cautious bull here. Okay. And the reason I'm a cautious bull, South American weather over the next 60 days are going to dictate how that crop gets out of the ground. They are the driest they've been heading into planting season in many, many years. I can't tell you if it's 10 years, 8 years, 15 years, or whatever. Your weather guys are better at that than I am. But I think that's one thing to watch, okay? I think the message for your listeners as we move forward here is we're harvesting some pretty good yields. Are they record? There's some record in some areas on the corn side of things. But I still struggle that we're going to be record everywhere with the late dryness we have. But the key for your listeners is there's cash carries in this marketplace. And everybody wants to know how to capture the carry. To capture the carry, you got to sell the carry.
Yeah.
Okay, so just I took Illinois River cash bids today. From today till December 1st, you got 30-cent carry in the corn market. You got a 43-cent carry in the soybean market. If you take those same numbers to March, you got a 47-cent carry in the cash corn market. You got a 67-cent carry in the cash bean market. Okay? So you can add $100 an acre to your bottom line by selling that carry out to March. Obviously, you have some interest cost, but you can add some significant value by selling that carry. So on rallies, we need to be selling the carries.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. And if it means, I mean, in a lot of cases, it justifies some commercial storage even, doesn't it, Mark?
Sure does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure does.
So, boy, run the numbers on it, guys. Run the numbers on it and see if it, because when that, you've got to take advantage of when the market is offering some things like this. Now, and I know you're talking about soybeans in particular right there, but you can do the same thing on corn, can't you?
Sure you can. Absolutely you can. You know, the point being is I think year over year, okay, or let's talk the last 2 years where we're trading inverted markets. Last year we finally got back in the carry market. Two previous years we traded inverted markets, so the crop was worth more today than it was in the future. Now we're back to the classic carrying charge market where it's worth more in the future than it is today. And the only way to capture that is on these rallies, make sure you're selling that forward curve out.
Right. Okay. Is it too soon to look at 2025 crop opportunities?
Great question. I know we hit on that a lot of times when we talk. You know, when we talked this summer, we were trading, you know, looking at these 25 to hopefully sell some December futures up in that $5 area. But no, I think on these rallies, if you start you know, as you guys are starting looking for your acres mix, your listeners are looking through acres mix for next year. You know, if we take my target is we get Deese 25 up in that 470, 475 area, I think that's a good opportunity to start layering in some sales. The reason being is our February crop insurance average this year was 466. And I kind of look back, you know, always look back the previous year where our crop insurance average was. And as we get above those levels, it's probably time to start making some small sales. Not saying sell the farm and, or get 25% sold, but layering a 5 to 10% sale in there as you're purchasing some inputs for the 25 crop makes sense. As we look at soybeans, you know, no 25 beans are trading around that 1057 areas where we closed. Basically a 50 cent carry to where no 24 beans are trading today. But if we get those no beans up in that $11 region, I think that's an area to start making some sales. Again, 5 to 10% here or there. Don't go crazy and sell the farm.
Yeah, and the way to do that on those 25 crop sales is just put the price orders in place, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Let the system work for you instead of trying to outguess things. Use it. Use the tools that are available to you and put those price orders in and be there before the market gets there to take advantage of some of those new crop marketing opportunities. Mark, great conversation, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, Chip, I appreciate you having me always.
You bet. You bet. Mark Holbrook from the Andersons. Okay, we're going to take a look at the chart outlook. We've got Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, up next here on AgriTalk.
With T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Because nobody likes having to choose. It's like getting romance and sci-fi.
Jane, I love you.
Also, I'm a robot.
Or being a dog person and a cat person.
Who wants a treat? Who's a good boy?
Or like being an extrovert and an introvert.
Woo! This is so fun! I can't wait to go home!
At T-Mobile, you don't have to choose. You can get the benefits you want and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. See how much you can save with our savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. Plus, when you switch, you can keep your phone and we'll pay it off up to $800.
Via virtual prepaid card in 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit service, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months. See T-Mobile.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit. And make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back. It's Monday here on AgriTalk. Well, it's not just here on AgriTalk that it's Monday. It's Monday everywhere, right,
Dave? No, I think everywhere. Well, I don't know. I mean, the time change. It might still be Sunday somewhere, or it might be I don't know how that works.
I think it's
I don't have anything to add to
Tuesday
this.
Tuesday someplace else.
I got nothing to add here, turns out.
Okay. No. Well, let's see if Carrie Artak's got anything to add to
Please.
It.
Please.
Carrie Artak.
I think it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday in Australia. How's that?
There you go. Thank you.
I was right all along. Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome.
All right, Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. Don't forget, you can go to ArtakAdvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C Advisory.com. Get signed up for a free trial there, or go to Wicked Stocks, and Carrie will take care of you there as well. Man, what a move in cotton today, dude. That was crazy.
No kidding.
Get us started there.
Yeah, right. Well, that was actually that pushed above a six-month channel top we've been watching for weeks, actually several months, 71.92. December closed to 72.82 today. And this actually has neutralized that long-term bear market. And I say neutralize, not reverse, because I see a 2 to 3 month rally now up to about 83.38. So this is a get long strategy, or at the very least, lift any short hedges you may have, because I do see the low 80s now as a 2 to 3 month target. And with today's volatility, and if we continue with that kind of volatility, we could actually see the low 80s by the end of October, perhaps. But 83.38 is our next objective, and it is an even more significant upper resistance area than 71.92 was. In other words, 83.38 may well contain buying into next spring, and from there we could actually fall back to new lows that were put out last August, just about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We could do that within several months of testing 83.38. Need to get above 83.38 for this thing to really turn well into next year. But for right now, let's just call it a counter trend rally for the next several months into the lower 80s, 83.38. On the other hand, if we close back below 71.92, that is rejection of a classic buy signal that should in itself set off a follow-through selling to 67.90 within 2 to 3 weeks, and all the way back perhaps to 60.63 within 2 to 3 months, where we find long-term support able to contain selling into next spring. On to October live cattle. We closed today 177.22. We've been testing a 4-year speed line projected off the 22 low. That's April 2020 low. That's a four-year structure. It's been holding very well the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's at 175.85 this week, climbing every week. It can absorb selling through the rest of the year, possibly well into next year. And by one measure anyway, you can say that that four-year bull trend in the live cattle market remains firmly intact above 175.85. I do anticipate 183.45 by the end of October. And, you know, we could, I'm talking broader market now, December, February contracts could push into the low 190s, 191 even roughly over the next 3 to 5 months, holding above 175.85. But if we close below 175.85, and that would need to be by a 1% margin because of how long term it is, that magic number this week is 174.10. So if the October contract settles Friday at 174.10 or lower, then we enter actually, I'm going to call it a bear market, at least near to midterm. 168.50 expected within 3 to 5 weeks, and over the next 3 to 5 months, 159.50. If we close at 174.10 or lower on Friday. Now, it should also be mentioned the feeder cattle market, which I've mentioned a lot on your show the last few months, did enter a long-term sell signal 2 weeks ago. So one of these is going to win out. Either October is going to join, either the live cattle market's going to join the feeder cattle market by setting off a long-term sell signal later this week, perhaps, or the feeder cattle market is going to reject that sell signal from a couple of weeks ago and climb back into a more bullish stance. Well, that remains to be seen, and we'll just take this 1 week at a time. And finally, the TLT, which is the symbol for the iShares 20-year Treasury Bond ETF. This is obviously an interest rate stock entity, if you will. And so upward movements in the TLT represent sort of a downward trend in interest rates. And that has been the case. We had a meaningful buy signal a couple of months ago in July when we settled above a two-year channel top at 95.09, then indicating within 2 to 3 months a four-year channel top at 104.56. We settled 101.23 today. 104.56 is likely to be tested over the next few weeks. And believe it or not, despite what we've seen in interest rates over the last, 6 months or so since the spring, the longer-term trend still remains one of increasing interest rates. So this is more of a counter-trend descent, if you will, in the interest rate market. 104.56, four-year channel top in the TLT, able to contain buying in the TLT through 25. And from there, we could fall back into a more higher interest rate structure as we continue into spring, summer of next year. But if we were to close above 104.56, first of all, that's a pretty solid buy signal for anyone who wants to invest in the TLT. But it also represents a lower interest rate market that should continue well into next year. The downside to that, of course, might be the implications for recession, and those oftentimes work hand in hand, but I don't want to make that strong assumption. Closing above 104.56, this interest rate market continues to decline as we continue well into next year. Until then, it can reawaken in a bad way as we move into spring of next year, and that pretty much summarizes it, Chip.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff, Kerry. Thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
All right. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, and WickedStocks.com. Check them both out and get signed up for a free trial there with Kerry. Okay. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for September 22nd through the 26th. We've got above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt, just like what we talked about with Kirk Hinz from BAMWX this morning. He's also talked about the potential for some rain coming in late in the period. Well, here's some above normal precipitation expected September 22nd through the 26th through North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, most of Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, all right? And to the east of that, near normal to below normal on the precipitation. Then jumping out to the 8 to 14 day, the above normal temperatures stick around for September 24th through the 30th. Then near normal precipitation expected across most of the Corn Belt. Still got some above normal precip expected down in Missouri, southern Illinois, far southern Indiana. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. We're going to talk interest rate outlook. We're going to do that again. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics on AgriTalk tomorrow morning.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act,
We've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/pact to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk.